The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Can you guys come up here? Can you come closer so I can see you? Well, good morning. Say, I think that there is a lot of rules in your houses. Am I right? Let me think. What are some rules that you have in your house? No yelling or screaming. Can't run in your house. Any other rules? Can people eat dessert whenever they want? Why not? Can you stay up as late as you want? We should change that, shouldn't we? What else? Going to bed by yourself?
Not
going to the airport by yourself. It's a good rule. Well, I'll tell you. You know, sometime when I was your age, I remember going, I want to stay up late. I want to be able to stay up late. I want to have ice cream all day long if I want. But then I realized that as I got older, there's reasons that we have those rules. And I mention that because it's a little like laws that we have in the Ten Commandments and such. We have a question, and this is for the adults as well, on our little take-home sheet. This is in your bulletin. There's caring conversations that you can do around your breakfast table, lunch, or supper table. And one of them is this. How do you show others that you care for them? And that's kind of funny to think that mommies and daddies show they care for us by actually giving us rules. By telling us that we can't have ice cream all day, that's actually how they show love for us. That's kind of funny. But it's real. And I want to remind it's okay that sometimes you get mad at them, but know that the reason those rules are there is because your mommies and daddies love you and they care for you. And the reason we have laws and rules for our society and from our church is because God loves us and God cares about us and God cares about our world. Can you pray with me? Dear God, help me love the world. Help me to love others. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's looking at our epistle today. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than human strength. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. Well, it must be. Because how foolish to think that we could be changed so that the power of God was shown in us in a new way. One that spoke to the world around us. How foolish sometimes I feel. How stupid to think that way of a being based around compassion, service, being gentle. Is it really worth it? Hard-nosed, getting ahead, cutthroat. Isn't that more powerful? That this could be a reflection of the basis of the universe, this love we talk about? What foolishness to come here and speak of love in a world that's so broken. It is power, isn't it? It is force, hard lines, the law that brings us authority. The law is the one that wins. But this foolish love. This foolish love from the cross, it over and over again tells us a different story, doesn't it? Today I want to tell you a story, a bit of a story, of a man named Andrew Chan and his journey to the cross. Now Andrew Chan, without the cross, did not have a story worth telling. He was addicted to heroin at the age of 14. To feed this habit, he started selling the drugs around the same time of his addiction. Heroin destroyed his life. It's one of the most dangerous addictive drugs in the world, but Andrew, he became a worse problem because to feed his habit, he had to make more drug addicts. He knew that he could get more money, more fixes for himself if he just got more people addicted like him. And soon he was running a ring. It was like a giant pyramid scheme with him at the top. As long as he got more people connected and saw him at the top, they would come to him. Make no mistake, Andrew Chan was a problem. A problem for our whole world. And the law caught up with him. An Australian, he was part of what was known as the Bali Nine. They were arrested in Indonesia in 2005, and he was their leader. Indonesia had harsh laws, and being the leader of this operation, Andrew was sentenced to death. A fool story right there, isn't it? The whole thing. But the foolishness of the story doesn't end there, because some fool came to visit him. No, it wasn't somebody who had a previous connection to him. It wasn't family, though I'm sure some family may have visited him. It was somebody who was foolish enough to think that Jesus could matter in this situation. Chan was going to be in prison for the rest of his life, and his life was going to end when he was executed. He was eventually going to die for all of the choices that he made. Why waste time on Andrew Chan when there's so many other people you could be spending time with? But after 6 years of study, more time tending to the drug addicted damaged around him, Andrew Chan became an ordained minister in the jail. Yes, he joined the fools, you could say. Within the prison, with no future, instead of focusing what little time he had left on himself, he focused his life on others. He spent his time, the limited time that he had left, tending to the drug addicted and damaged who came into the prison like he did. He mopped up vomit and listened to the same old excuses over and over again from people who were prisoners like him, some of them not serving death sentences like him. When he told about his own story, he said, "When I got back to my cell, I said, 'God, I asked you to set me free, not to kill me. God spoke to me and said, Andrew, I have set you free. I've set you free from the inside out. I have given you life. And from that moment on, I haven't stopped worshiping him. I had never sung before, never led worship before, until Jesus set me free. Through all this, during all this, the prison governor described Chan as his model prisoner. He wished everybody could be like Andrew, testified in court that he should not be executed because of the positive influence that he was giving to Korobokan prison, that what he was doing in prison was so much more valuable than what would happen if he was gone. Several current and former inmates of Korobokan, where he was sentenced, they asked if they could replace him on the firing squad. They asked if they could face death for him. Such was the depth of the feeling for all of the work that he was doing. In charge of a drug counseling courses, comforting the sick, inspiring others. Andrew Chan, the 14-year-old drug-addicted heroin addict who became a heroin dealer, who became on death row, now became an inspiration. But the law never relented. Chan was on his journey to the cross, and he was executed. On April 29th, 2015, with six other prisoners, Chan sang Amazing Grace before being shot by a 12-member firing squad. Under the law, Chan got what he deserved. Bali, if you know Indonesia, it has harsh laws, but they were clear laws. He was destroying lives. They felt it had to stop. This is how they dealt with it. But think, all of that government power, and then a few foolish souls saw past the harshness of the day, and they led with grace and compassion. And I'll remind you that the word compassion is two Latin words that mean with the suffering. It was this love that pierced through prison cells and showed that no, the law does not get final authority. As we look at our hands, our work, our efforts in the world, we do not call for our world to end the law. It's important we say that. But I'd have you look at this picture for a moment. Mom and dad with their child.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
The law was not able to save Andrew Chan, but Jesus did. Amen.